Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. What do you do when you want a divorce but your spouse doesn't want a divorce? This is a really hard position to be in. There's a big difference between divorcing someone who doesn't want a divorce, but they're willing to go along with it because they don't think they have a choice and they just go with it and now you're in a divorce. And when you want a divorce and your spouse won't even participate at all, he or she is in complete denial and is not engaging in any talk of a divorce, and you feel like, how can you do this when your spouse isn't participating? And to talk about this, I have a great guest. Her name is Karen Covey. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jackie.
So glad to have you on the podcast, Karen. I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Karen Covey has been a divorce attorney since 1995. She's also been a divorce mediator since 1995. She got a divorce coaching certificate in 2015, and since then, over the last couple of years, or maybe few years, Karen has morphed her practice and decided to focus solely on being a divorce coach. So I personally think if I was looking for a divorce coach, why wouldn't I want to hire Karen? Because I'm getting the expertise of a divorce attorney and a mediator too. So great to have you on the show, Karen. I'm sure you're going to offer so many great tips.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Karen, before we get started, why did you decide to morph your practice and just become a divorce coach instead of practicing divorce law and mediation?
You know, I have long believed that there's got to be a better way to get divorced than the way that most people have done it or the way people have done it historically. That's why pretty shortly after I became a divorce lawyer, I became a divorce mediator as well, because I was looking for better ways to do it. That's why I became a collaborative divorce practitioner, a divorce arbitrator. I've done it all the ways, but I still saw that the way most people go through divorce doesn't work. It doesn't get them the result they want without spending a fortune and causing a lot of collateral damage to themselves and their kids. So as a coach, what I realized is I can fill in the gaps that divorce lawyers will leave. I mean, everybody thinks all you need to get through a divorce is a lawyer, but divorce is only about 10% legal. And the rest of it, people think their lawyer's going to do, their lawyer's not going to do. And so that's the area, the place where people make the biggest mistakes and cause themselves the most pain. So I decided to step into that gap so that I could help more people get through their divorce the way they want.
You just said something that I have a question about. You said divorce is 10% legal. What's the other 90%?
The other 90% is financial. It's parental. It's like, it has to do with your kids. It's social. It's practical. It's things like, once you get a divorce, are you moving? Is your spouse moving? What do you do with the house? It's all the practical stuff.
All right, let's move on to, you wrote an article for Divorced Girl Smiling called When Your Spouse Doesn't Want a Divorce. And Karen, this is one of the most read articles on my website. And I think the reason for that is there must be a lot of people in this position where they want a divorce, they've been unhappy for years, they've begged their ex, their husband or wife, to go to marriage counseling, the person won't go, they're not willing to address the issue, and then the spouse says, I want a divorce, and they're not willing to participate in that either. So they're sort of ignoring the person, won't participate. So tell me about that. Have you had cases? Obviously, if you wrote the article, you've had cases like this. How does somebody deal with this?
Well, first of all, what your listeners need to hear is that you don't need your spouse's permission to get divorced. In every state in the country these days, You're able to get a divorce whether your spouse wants to participate or not. But when your spouse really refuses to participate, that makes it, of course, way harder. Now, you got to start by understanding, is your spouse just dragging his or her feet? Or are they really just saying, I'm not gonna respond to the lawyer, I'm not gonna go to court, I'm not gonna do any of the things? If that's the situation that you find yourself in, then I really, really recommend to anybody in that spot, they get a lawyer, because you can push your way through the system without your spouse's participation, but you, as a layperson, don't know how to do that. So you really need a lawyer, and then the lawyer needs to enter a default against your spouse, and the court will give your spouse a million opportunities to try to participate because the judge is trying to be fair. But at the end of the day, if your spouse won't participate, the judge will grant your divorce and, you know, give you what it says in your divorce judgment. There won't be any settlement agreement because your spouse didn't agree.
All right. If there's no settlement agreement, then what?
What happens is you go to trial, right, technically. But there's not really much of a trial if your spouse isn't there. There's nobody to oppose what you say. But what people have to understand is that even if your spouse isn't there, the judge still has an obligation to follow the law and do what's fair. So you still have to present evidence to the court, which will probably be mostly your own testimony and whatever documents you want to give to the judge. And the version of the case that the judge hears is going to be very one-sided because you're the only one that's going to be talking. But still, you have to say, this is the situation, this is what I want, this is why I want it, this is what we have. And then the judge, at the end of the testimony, at the end of the trial, enters a judgment that says, this is what you get, this is what your spouse gets, you're divorced.
Isn't that crazy? I can't even imagine. But in your experience, Karen, do people, spouses who are not willing to participate, at some point jump into the game, like when they start seeing these things that, you know, their spouse is doing in court, don't they eventually jump in and say, okay, now I'm going to participate?
Yes. Most of the time, the answer is yes. You still get some spouses who won't participate at all. Sometimes it's for religious reasons. Sometimes it's, most of the times, to be honest, it's spite. It's just like, I don't want this, and if you do, you have to make it happen, and it's all on you. And that's a very unfair, passive-aggressive kind of stance to take against your spouse, because then the person who wants the divorce feels like so much worse, because it's clearly everything is, air quotes, their fault, right? Their spouse is making them feel like everything is their fault. And that's not true, but that's the way it looks.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Karen Covey, a great, great divorce coach. And we're talking about when your spouse doesn't want a divorce. Before we move on, I want to mention two Divorced Girl Smiling partners who I think you're going to want to know about. If you feel like you're in need of therapy, I would highly recommend the Center for Divorce Recovery, which is under the umbrella of Affiliates in Counseling, which is a large therapy practice in Chicago with offices in Chicago, Northbrook, and Naperville. And I have known many of the therapists there for years. They're really reputable and wonderful therapists. So you can find them on Divorced Girl Smiling or at affiliatesincounseling.net. The other person I want to recommend is divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. Anna has been practicing, I believe, for 16 years. I've probably known Anna for 8 or 9 years. She is a wonderful person, really warm, compassionate, knowledgeable. She's extremely experienced and she's wonderful in court, but most of her practice is done through mediation or through the collaborative divorce process. And you can find Anna Krolikowska at annaklaw.com or on Divorced Girl Smiling. Okay, back to our podcast.
I just thought of a few reasons why a spouse would not engage. And tell me if you agree with me, Karen. Maybe the spouse is really scared and they're hoping that if they don't engage, you're just going to let this go and eventually just stop pursuing the divorce. If they just ignore you, you know, they think you're just going to stop. Or what are some other reasons?
It could be, as I mentioned, it could just be meanness, spite. You know, they don't want this. They don't want you to do it. So they're going to make your life a living hell and have you do it all yourself because they just won't participate. Sometimes it might not be that, but it might be for religious reasons. They just have a fundamental faith-based belief that if they participate in a divorce, it goes against their religion or what have you. That's a little more rare, but it happens.
All right. Now, Karen, I just thought of another reason. Maybe they think, well, she can't get divorced without me. So if I just stay out of it, judge is going to divorce us without me being there. But what I want to tell my listeners, and Karen, tell me if this is true, you can tell your spouse this is moving forward with or without you. So I hope that you will get involved because I'm doing this and it is legal for me to get a divorce from you even if you don't show up or participate.
Jackie, you're absolutely right. And I mean, what people need to hear and understand is that in today's world, if one spouse wants a divorce, you're getting a divorce. The other spouse can make it take longer. They can make it cost more. They can make it harder on the spouse who wants the divorce to actually get it, but they can't stop you. Just can't.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce coach Karen Covey, who is also a divorce attorney and divorce mediator, but doesn't practice those anymore. And we are talking when your spouse doesn't want a divorce and when he or she will not participate. Karen, I have another question. Tell me what the challenges are of getting a divorce when your spouse isn't participating.
One of the challenges is in the legal system, you've got to have a lawyer who's willing to continue to push forward. And in some ways, it will take you longer because the judge is going to try to get your spouse to participate. The judge is going to want to be fair, so he or she will give your spouse a lot of time to get their act together, right? Until the judge has just had enough and said, okay, you've had so many chances that we're just going to do this, right? So part of it is a timing thing, and part of it is guilt, because then you feel like you're the bad guy, you're the one who wanted the divorce and is pushing the divorce, and your spouse is making you feel guilty because they're not participating.
Let's talk about guilt. I always say to people that guilt is the worst emotion. I shouldn't say the worst emotion, but it is completely unproductive. It's a negative emotion, and it doesn't help you in any way to feel guilty. So why shouldn't someone feel guilty when they're pursuing a divorce that their ex will not participate in?
First of all, I couldn't agree with you more, Jackie. Guilt is a completely useless emotion in this context. I mean, yeah, it has some relevance or some use in other areas perhaps. But for the most part, guilt is pretty useless. And what people have to understand is I have never – in my career, and I've been practicing in divorce for more decades than I care to admit, I have never seen any marriage break down that is totally, completely, 100% one person's fault. there's always one person may be more at fault than another, but it, as I say, it takes two to tango. So you're feeling guilty that you caused the marriage to break down or that you caused the divorce, but the truth of the matter is your spouse had a part in that too. And the truth is also that your spouse, by not participating, is probably trying to be or being very passive-aggressive and very manipulative, and they are the part of the reason they're doing that is to make you feel guilty. So it's not that it's true that everything is your fault, and that's what you've got to start believing in your heart and soul and letting go of the guilt and saying, you know what, this isn't just my fault. I understand that I'm the one doing it, but that's only because my spouse won't participate. And then you got to just let it go.
Karen, I could not agree with you more. And I'm trying to put myself in the spouse's shoes who doesn't want the divorce. And think about it. He or she is afraid of change. They're probably not happy either, but they're afraid of change. They don't want to rock the boat. They're scared. And so they just kind of will do anything to make you not do the divorce. So make you feel guilty. Maybe they're going to like beg you to stay. Please don't do this. Don't do this to the kids. You know, we don't want to be people who come, our kids to be people who come from a broken home, which I hate that term, really outdated. But the person will basically say anything if they don't want to have the divorce, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times they're not even doing that. They're just being mean. They're stonewalling, right? So they're not talking to their spouse at all. They're just saying, I'm not doing this. This is, it's all on you, right?
Well, absolutely.
Not really fair either.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So in the article, you write, divorcing a reluctant spouse means you have to be stronger. I love that part. So what do you mean by that?
Well, it goes to what you were saying, Jackie, that, you know, the person who doesn't want the divorce, maybe they're really scared, maybe they don't want change. The truth of the matter is, they're probably not happy either. I mean, nobody gets married with the idea that you're going to be miserable. Like, this is a life sentence to live in misery with somebody you can't even stand anymore, right? And so your spouse isn't happy probably either, but they don't want to do anything about it. So you have to be the stronger person to say, I am going to do something about this. I know what I want. I know this is wrong. I know this isn't healthy for me, for my spouse, for my kids. So I'll do the hard thing.
All right. What is a healthy, good way to tell somebody and basically, for lack of better words, talk someone into getting a divorce?
That's really hard to answer because it depends on the personality of the person that you're talking to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it may take more than one conversation, right? Because the person who doesn't want a divorce, at first in their head, they're likely thinking something like, oh, my spouse isn't, she's not serious, right? She'll change her mind. And that's especially true if you threaten divorce in the past and then haven't gone through with it. They'll think it's just another threat. So it may take a couple of conversations before your spouse gets it that this is happening, you're serious, and you're really going through and getting a divorce. And the way to do it, I always tell people, is to be respectful, to talk to your spouse the way you would want them to talk to you, but to be firm with them. They have to understand that you're serious, that this isn't, it's not up for discussion. You've made a decision, mm-hmm. and that decision, it changes everything.
Which is going back to what you said, stay strong. I just love this whole conversation, Karen. These are wonderful, wonderful tips and pieces of advice. I want to address, before we close out, kids. So you write in the article that you might want to consult, if you have kids, with a child psychologist because the person that doesn't want the divorce might try to recruit the kids to be on his or her side and feel sorry for him.
Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. When you have kids and you've got a spouse who doesn't want a divorce, if the spouse isn't putting the children first, and this is what you've got to remember, if your spouse is getting your children involved in your divorce and recruiting them to be on his or her side, right, that's not putting the kids first. That's not doing what's in your kids' best interest. That's being selfish. So the narrative when your spouse doesn't want a divorce becomes, oh, it's all your mom's fault. She's the one that filed, or it's all your dad's fault, whoever's, you know, pushing the divorce. It's all the other person's fault. I'm innocent. Poor me. I have no one to take care of me. And on and on and on, right? And so what happens is the child then becomes like the parent. They feel like they have to take care of the poor parent who didn't want the divorce. They start to be angry at the parent who did want the divorce. And to the extent that there are lifestyle changes in divorce or any, you know, a change of residence, now they have to go back and forth between houses, or they lose the marital home and there's two apartments, or whatever it can be, anything negative that comes from the divorce, the child is now going to start to also blame the person who wanted the divorce. It may not be right, it may not be fair, but if the narrative is, oh, it's all, you know, mom's fault, that's what the kid's going to pick up on. And that's really not doing the kid any favors. I mean, you're talking years of therapy after that for the child to start to get things straight, you know, in their own emotional life in relationships moving forward.
Oh my gosh, I see this a lot, and I hear it from people all the time, that the kids are forced to take sides, and, you know, my kids are siding with my husband, they can't stand me right now, they're really mad at me, and that so doesn't have to be that way. It's just frustrating when people do that. Karen, this is so wonderful. So what I want to say to my listeners is, these are the kinds of things that Karen can offer you as a divorce coach. This is why it's so important to go to a divorce coach. Karen, when I got divorced, there was no such thing as a divorce coach. It wasn't a thing yet. It was 2007, and there was no divorce coaches yet. And I would have loved to have somebody like you to talk to me about certain things like this. And really, it will, having a divorce coach helps people make better decisions and handle things through divorce in a much better way. Do you agree? Like, is that really what it is? What else does a divorce coach do?
Absolutely. And a divorce coach does three things. Number one is educate people, because the divorce system doesn't work the way most people think it's going to work. And people think their lawyer is going to tell them everything they need to know, but that's not what a lawyer does. So as a coach, my first job is to educate you so that you can make better decisions as you go through the process. The second thing is to apply that education to your own circumstances, because, you know, you can go on the internet and get a lot of information. A, you don't know what's right and what's wrong, you know, whether the information you're getting is true or not. But beyond that, that still doesn't tell you how to use it, how to apply it to your life. And the third thing I do as a divorce coach is preparation and planning, because going through a divorce is like going through anything else in life. The more prepared you are, the better plan you make, the more likely you're going to end up where you want to be instead of wherever you end up. So that's what divorce coaching is.
I love it. And I truly, like I said, wish it would have been around and wish it would have been a thing when I was getting divorced. It would have made the process so much easier. And you know what? I probably would have had a better divorce outcome financially and other things too.
Yeah. And the other thing divorce coaching can help you do is save money, because, and it does it in two ways. One, as a coach, part of what I do is educate you on how you can use your attorney in the most efficient way, so that you're not building up a huge attorney's fees bill. And the second thing is that by helping you make better decisions, better financial decisions, that ultimately saves you money in the long run, because you give yourself the chance to have a better financial outcome.
Oh, Karen, you are great. Thank you so much for being on the show and taking time to do this.
Jackie, it has totally been my pleasure.
Tell my listeners, if they want to reach out to you, where they can find you.
They can find me. The best place is on my website at karencovey.com. That's K-A-R-E-N-C-O-V-Y. There's no E in my version of Covey. Otherwise, I'd be related to someone really important, and, you know, maybe I wouldn't be doing any of this. Who knows?
All right, so karencovey.com, and you can also find Karen under Trusted Partners on Divorced Girl Smiling. So, Karen, again, thank you for being here. And to my listeners, we are rooting for you. We're here for you for whatever you need, for support, for empowerment, just educating you more and making you feel less alone and less isolated. So if you want to learn more, please come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.